In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Our gospel passage and sermon text this morning is the parable most often referred to as the parable of the chief seats. The context is this, that Jesus attended a prestigious dinner at a respectable Pharisee's home, and he noticed that at the dinner people were vying, competing for the places of honor. An ancient Palestinian feast, people reclined at table in sets of three, and the middle position was the place of honor. And people often would fight for that place, only to be demoted when someone of more prestige, more wealth, more status arrived, and how humiliating that demotion would be. Our parable today finds close kinship to much of the proverb literature. There is a couple of verses in the 25th chapter of Proverbs, actually as our alternative verses today for the Old Testament lesson, that captures the gist of the parable. Claim not honor before the king. Do not stand in the company of great people. It is better for you to be told, come up hither, than to be humbled before the noble. The question is this, is today's parable simply illustration of ancient proverb literature on etiquette and social behavior? Or might it be something more? Might it be a window into what it is to live a life in the person of Jesus Christ? And in this sermon, I propose that it is the latter. First, we all see from this parable, as we see from our own lives, that all human beings, all of us mortals, have a desire to belong, to be affirmed. We have a need to be and to do and to have. And that need is there for a purpose because it was created in us. The problem is that often, if we're honest, most often, we mortals seek this affirmation in the wrong places of this world. At the banquets and titles and our possessions. And they never fill the void that they're supposed to fill. Because when they're placed in the center of our soul, it just doesn't work. And we seem to want more and more. And we see this in all of our lives. I have a wonderful, humorous, delightful memory of when I saw my own human nature and my own desire to be and to do and to have. When I accompanied my mother to her high school reunion. The only reunion that her class ever had, their 50th high school reunion in 1989. I was newly ordained. She was the class of 1939. And this was from a rural small town in North Carolina before the days of social media. So a couple of years before the reunion, there was a great letter writing campaign to try to find the students. And those who were still living were able, so many have returned, about 50, to the small town. And now, it's one important detail of the story is that my mother had a friend that she grew up with all throughout her life by the name of Margaret. And I say friend because in a small town you do not have enemies because you have to live with your enemies. But she often found disagreement with Margaret growing up, and there was so much competition. Well, Margaret had stayed in the town. She was one of the organizers of the reunion. That's a very important detail to remember. So after a few months of a weight loss program and all this, my mother and I go to her high school reunion, the decades that she'd been back to see these people. And we in this somewhat dilapidated hotel, but the only hotel in town that could accommodate 50 people in a banquet room. There's a social hour, and then we poured into the banquet room where there were place cards for everyone. And there was the head table, the front tables, and then the tables that went back and back and back. And would you believe we could not find our place setting? We kept on walking back and back and back. And there at the rear of the room, in the shadows next to the restrooms, were our name tags. And my mother had four distinct words. This was Margaret's doing. Margaret was sitting at the front tables. And I was trying to calm my mother. Mom, they'll make the best of this. This will be a wonderful time. She would hear nothing of it. And we were about to sit down when, lo and behold, something happened. Another organizer of the reunion came and noticed I was wearing clergy attire. And he said, we have a problem. The minister has not shown up to give the invocation. Would you be willing to do it? I said yes, not realizing that that yes meant that my mother and I were then promoted to the head table. That would be the table in front of the front tables where Margaret was sitting. And my mother sat down and she leaned over to me. I've never forgotten these words. She said, "For whatever trouble you have ever caused me, this makes up for it." Yeah. And I realized then that my mom in her late 60s, with whatever sophistication she had, whatever titles or accomplishments she had in life, she was really the same girl she was in the first grade, the fifth grade, and the eighth grade. And so are we. So are we. We will never not have a desire to be needed, to be affirmed, to be and to do and to have. And that is a good thing. So if we're not to seek these things at reunions and banquets and titles that can never really fulfill, where are we to seek affirmation in life? Well, our Christianity is simple. It says in the person of Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ lived and died. And yes, he was resurrected. But how do we know that resurrection, Lord? How do we know? Our catechism, our faith, through 2,000 years have taught us that we know him through the sacraments of the church. The sacraments are the means by which we know our Lord, especially the two great sacraments of the church. You know what the great sacraments are? Baptism and Eucharist. They're called great because these are the sacraments that Jesus condoned in his life in the Gospels. These are the two sacraments that, if at all possible, if available, are needed by all Christians. Not all of us, for example, need the sacrament of marriage. We don't all need the sacrament of ordination. Not all of us would be privileged to have the sacrament of the last rites if we drop dead on the sidewalk. But all of us, if at all possible, have need of baptism and Eucharist, because these sacraments tell us who Jesus is. They teach us the life of Jesus, but also they tell us who we are in Jesus. We are the beloved, the forgiven. In baptism, what do we say? You were sealed by the Holy Spirit and marked as Christ's own forever. God will never lift his hand from your life. Though we might be faithless, God will always be faithful. Can you imagine what would happen if we actually believed that? If a child grew up believing and being taught that he or she was the beloved of God by virtue of that outward sign of the inward grace of baptism. Martin Luther believed it. All of his life, when tempted, when down, when in despair, he would say out loud, "I have been baptized," because it reminded him not only who Jesus is, but who he is in Jesus Christ. That's why we have holy water in the baptismal font in the entrance of churches, not just for general blessings, though that's true, but to remind us of the blessing of what it is to be baptized. Eucharist is the same. It will always be a mystery. But 2,000 years ago in that upper room on the first Monday, Thursday, Jesus promised that whenever we gather together, no matter how feeble our faith, his presence will be with us in the humble elements of bread and wine. And so our faith asks us to stay close to the sacraments of baptism and Eucharist and to be faithful to them. And as we stay faithful to them, we become solid in the knowledge of who we are, the beloved, the forgiven, the precious of God. And when we have that solid in our souls, then around the edges of our lives, we're malleable and tolerant and loving and permeable. But when we neglect the sacraments, when we weaken our belief and we seek affirmation in places that will never give it to us, we become, and as individuals and as a church, prickly, non-absorbent, rigid around the edges. You've seen that, right? So the gospel today calls us to stay close to the sacraments. Remind ourselves daily who we are, the baptized of God, who are loved by God. God knows us by name and by need. And having that, we'll be able to look out of ourselves intrinsically, innately, for the greater good of others. We will see and be mindful and responsive to the needs of others. And that is the Christian life. The gospel lesson today, this parable of the chief seeds. What a beautiful, simple parable. A call simply to stay close to the sacraments, close to Jesus Christ. Never forget who we are. Amen.